The world of investing can be complicated. Not everyone is super duper savvy in this department. Cornell Schreiber created a whole bunch of resources to make things a little bit easier. It's called Build Wealth Canada, a website that aims to help you get a handle on your finances with, there's free guides, there's a podcast, an online course, a whole bunch of stuff. So we have chosen it as a blog to watch, even though blogs probably like a 2008 term. Cornell joins us now to tell us more. Hello.
Hi, Bruce.
You call it a blog back in the day? Now, what do you call it? A platform?
I still call it a blog, but it's a podcast.
It's more than that.
Much a podcast, exactly.
So how would you describe what your mission is with Build Wealth Canada? What are you trying to do?
Sure. So I found that when it comes to personal finance in Canada and investing, I mean, there's so much great content out there, but so much of it is created by the U.S. They have the population, they have a much bigger industry than we do. And so we as Canadians, we read and watch these great tips and tricks and things like that. And we want to act on them, but we wonder, well, hold on, does this apply to me as a Canadian? We obviously have different tax system here. We have different investment options. And so with Build Wealth Canada, what I do is I interview the top experts like yourself on the show to really learn the best practices when it comes to investing and personal finance, and to make it specifically for Canadians to know, you know, so we can actually apply this ourselves.
You claim on your website that yours is the top personal finance podcast in Canada. Really? Really? I want proof. I want a lawyer's letter. I want Nielsen data on that. I'm just kidding. Clearly, you have a lot of fans and a lot of people. What are some of the interviews, aside from the one that we did ages ago, what are some of the voices that you think that you've interviewed on your podcast that you think we need to listen to that are really relevant and resonant in the conversation today?
Sure. So I know you're involved with MoneySense quite a bit. So we definitely have some guests from there. Julie Kazin was one of the earlier guests, just like yourself.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed her interview. This was a while back. You'd have to go a little back into the archives. Recently, I interviewed Jason Heath as well. So we did a lot of things about
fee-only
financial planning, optimizing things that way. And then the FIRE movement, financial independence, retire early movement has really picked up steam here in Canada. I had Bryson Christie on the show recently as well, talking about their experience. That was really fun. It's kind of inspirational, I think, for a lot of people that are in a job they don't like and want to get out.
Tell us about your transition from a corporate job to small family business and how that led to you starting Build Wealth Canada.
Sure. Yeah. So, I mean, it definitely was quite the journey. I mean, it was a $20,000 pay cut to go from a nice, you know, high paying corporate job to sort of a small family business. And then, you know, there's not a lot of, you know, no benefits, no RSP matching. So it was, you know, but I learned being in a high paying corporate job that money isn't everything. There's other things that, you know, for sort of self-actualization and fulfillment and all that. And so, you know, we did make some sacrifices in that way. But at the end of the day, you know, it was, I feel it was the right decision. We still ended up okay, and the markets have been doing quite well, so we can't complain.
You were able to pay off your mortgage at what, 29?
Yes.
How did you do that?
So we essentially decided, when we took on the mortgage, we decided that we were only going to live off one of our salaries. Mm. And so one of our salaries was just purely for day-to-day type expenses, and the other one was purely dedicated towards paying off the mortgage. I wouldn't necessarily have done things that, going back now, looking back, I would have invested a lot of that instead of just focusing on paying
down
the mortgage.
You still would have been that focused and that rigorous. You might have just allocated the dollars differently.
For sure, 100%. 100%. Yeah. Because knowing what I know, I would have actually spent a lot more of that investing.
And is that because the guaranteed return of mortgage elimination is lower than the return that you can earn in the stock market?
Exactly. That's pretty much it. At the time, when we took on our first mortgage, this was like 2007, 2008. So, you know, I'm fresh out of school.
Yeah.
The crash happens.
People get panicked. We get terrified.
The smart thing to do would have been, let's plow all that money into the markets while they're low. However, you know, we're fresh out of school. We don't know. So we got scared. We just said, you know what? Let's just pump our money into the mortgage because that's a save. That's a guaranteed thing. Knowing what I know now, interviewing, you know, dozens and dozens of personal finance experts across Canada, I know that that's not necessarily the most efficient thing to do in terms of money. I should have invested a lot of
that. very first, if you think back, what was the very first spark for you that you thought, oh, this is interesting. I like this. I want to learn more about this for I'm sure first for yourself, mm-hmm. before you thought about doing the podcast or the video series or whatever. What was that first spark?
In terms of investing or paying off the mortgage?
Being curious about personal finance.
Mm-hmm. I think when I saw how much we were paying every month in our first mortgage, and I saw that money automatically leave our account every month, I started fantasizing what it would be nice to actually have that cash not leave.
Yeah.
Right. And so you start getting these ideas, and wow, with this money, we could take a trip every month or whatever, right? You get it into these little, you get into these sort of fantasies in your head. And so that kind of got me thinking, you know what? Let's figure out how we can pay this thing off as quickly as possible.
How has your spending changed now that you don't have the mortgage elimination goal? Mm-hmm. Did you really have to double down on discipline? Because the goal would be a little bit more ephemeral, I think, as you think about investing for the future. It's not mm-hmm. it's not quite the same enemy mm-hmm. as paying off the mortgage.
Right. So it's interesting because when we first... At first, the motivation was, let's get rid of the mortgage because we want that money. But then we got used to this lifestyle of not spending all that money every month. And so once the mortgage was paid off, I realized, oh, we're actually really behind on retirement savings because we've been pumping everything into the mortgage. And so instead of spending all that money like I initially fantasized about, it now became, well, let's quickly save for retirement. And so we applied that exact same level of discipline to investing for retirement. And we actually became financially independent when I was 32. So that we kind of, you know, hit that sort of milestone where theoretically we could live off the investments if we wanted to.
The people who will roll their eyes at your behavior and your accomplishment are those who can't reconcile the notion of being so aggressive about a financial goal and living a full life. What would you say to them?
I would say there's a lot of things that we think are musts in terms of spending, but they're really not. And then we kind of get tricked into this thinking that if we just spend money, it's going to make us happy. That spending, you know, if we spend an extra $10,000 on some shiny object, that's going to make us happier. But it actually doesn't. And so I found once, even though we were making these sacrifices and only living off one income, I found our happiness was still great. Mm-hmm. So I think, you know, a lot of times people think, well, we have to have these expenses, but we really don't. So for example, you know, they think they have to have this expensive house. They think they have to have two cars or, you know, things of that nature. But there's really a lot of fat that can be trimmed as soon as you disassociate the spending money with happiness piece.
You don't live in a big city. You live close to a big city, but you don't live in a big city. Do you think that's an advantage culturally in that you don't have the temptation around, you don't have the people who are, you know, to live in any neighborhood or in a major city, you're spending $1 million. There's mm-hmm. just no way around it.
I could see that. I mean, if you're in Toronto, you're tempted
Vancouver,
by...
Vancouver, lesser extent.
For sure. I mean, I'm in Kitchener, right? So sure, we have some nice concerts here and there, but I mean, nothing compared to Toronto or going to Broadway or something like that, right? So I would say, yeah, there probably are a lot more temptations in Toronto. But you know what? Now with online shopping and things like that, I mean, it's so easy to spend money.
To overspend, no matter, equal opportunity overspending, where you live.
So I don't think we can really use that as kind of an excuse, right? It's all about, I think, what your goals are and how badly do you want them, and do you want to hit them faster, or are you okay hitting them slower but spending a little bit more?
Cornell, thank you so much for coming in.
Thanks for having me on.
Cornell Schreiber is the creator of Build Wealth Canada. We're calling it one of our blogs to watch.